We are still in Acts chapter number 28. We are about to finish the book of Acts. So we begin on a new thing soon. I'm sure next Sunday we will be wrapping up the book of Acts. And I hope and believe that you got something, one or two things from our long journey in that book. And you can really challenge your faith and yourself so that you can be a believer whom the Lord Jesus is expecting to walk with in such times as this. So, chapter 28, we are going to read very few verses like we did last Sunday. I'm sure the scripture will appear there and we will all read. Let's read first together. It says, after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." Let's move on. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief men of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. Hallelujah. God bless the reading of his word. I think you are still remembering very well, vividly, in Acts chapter 27, that these guys are in a tempest. These guys are in a sea. There is a storm and everything is going hellfire, and everything is not according to what they planned, and their lives are under siege and threat, and many things are happening. But I want us to look at three things this morning. Time allowing, I'm going to show you just three attitudes that we believe they are very key to us as we make our way in a world as complex as ours. I think it is good that we learn how to maneuver from guys who have done it. The Bible says we have this massive cloud of witnesses who were men and women like you and me who made it. Yeah, who went through hard times but made it. Not only going to heaven, but who won, who overcame, you know. In their hardships, they manifested the glory of God and they witnessed for Jesus. I think the key thing is, no matter what you are going through, are you able to witness for Jesus? That's the key thing. No matter what you are going through, are you able to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? No matter what you are going through, are you able to stand for Jesus? Are you able to contend for the faith? Are you able to defend the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that is crucial. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us here, if we have received the Lord Jesus Christ and we are born again and saved, we are bound for heaven, isn't it? But heaven is not the prize, man. Eh? Heaven is just our resting place, but the warfare is here. The good things are here. And God is interested in you and me when we do what we ought to do here now while we are alive, while it is said to be hard. That's the issue. But I want us to look at Paul first. They are in the tempest. They are in the sea. Everything is bound to fall. He is a prisoner. Remember, he is not even the one in charge. He is not the captain of the ship. He is just a prisoner and is going to appear to Caesar and probably have his head cut off. Yeah? But see how he responds in the sea. When things are going haywire, Paul takes responsibility. Paul assumes leadership. Paul is serving the people who are supposedly to be his enemies. He seems to be caring for them. He seems to be having a heart for them. Say, guys, you haven't eaten for a long time. Things are tough here, but please relax and eat. How do you wish your enemies that kind of good? When you know they are really meaning harm to you. But Paul is showing us the very attitude that you and me ought to be carrying in such a time as this. Do you know that we are not in a time to be wishing our enemies death? We are at a time where we are supposed to be wishing our enemies salvation. We are at a time where we need to be wishing our enemies the goodness of the Lord in their lives, that the Lord may convict their hearts and open their eyes so they can see the goodness that flows from the cross of Calvary. Paul is sitting amongst these people. His heart is in their salvation and nowhere else. And he begins to save them. You know the story. And when they have escaped to that same island called Malta, and the villagers have welcomed them with unusual kindness like we saw last week, the Bible shows us something different again by Paul. He gathers a bundle of sticks. I am quite certain that other guys are so cold and so wet and so discouraged and so disappointed and so angry. They are just waiting for the villagers to do it for them. But Paul joins the villagers and he gathers a bundle of sticks with them for his fellow prisoners. He is also wet. He is also cold. But the spirit in him cannot allow him just to sit and to be saved. How many of us remember that the spirit of God in us is a servant spirit? That you and me are called to serve regardless. We are called to serve no matter what our conditions are. And Paul is showing you and me here how to respond to our circumstances. Never allow your circumstances to put you down under a table or even under a chair. The Bible says no one lights a lamp or a light and puts it under a table. The purpose of lighting a lamp is so that you put it on top so that it gives light to everyone, so that it is seen. Paul is in this storm, but the man cannot be switched off. His light cannot be switched off that easily. He must save. He must manifest the heart of Christ. He must show Jesus. He must preach Jesus. Remember, we don't preach Jesus by words of mouth only, but by our deeds. But how we treat one another, how we handle other people. So he collects the wood with them. He collects a bundle and he puts it on the fire. And the Bible says when he put the bundle on the fire, on one of the pieces of stick, there was a viper, a serpent. Maybe to use a common name, a snake, eh? I don't know what kind of a snake, but in that vicinity, it should have been a very poisonous snake. And now it feels the heat and it bites Paul and it hangs on his finger or on his hand. Oh my goodness, God. There begins trouble. You are serving with all your heart. And bam, the devil comes. How many people, maybe let me not ask that question. Let me just help us understand. Do you know that the enemy will always attack believers who are active in the house of the Lord? The believers were out there serving. The believers were out there on missions. The believers were out there reaching out and doing the good things that heaven expects them to do. They are always the prime target of the enemy. And when he attacks them, he wants to embarrass them. Paul is attacked in public, in the eyes of everyone else. And most of the people around him are believers. Sorry, are unbelievers. And the Bible says when they saw Paul with the snake or the viper in his hand, they made assumptions. This is a true murderer. This man is a true murderer. Why a murderer? Because they see prisoners. And everyone, when we see prisoners, we think they are murderers. Eh? That's an assumption. Do you know that people are full of assumptions? Yeah? People assume a lot of things. They see truth where there is no truth. They don't even prove what they are seeing and what they are talking about. They just make a conclusion. Just because he has been beaten by a snake and is the only one among these prisoners, he is indeed a murderer, worse than everyone else. And justice does not want him to live. You know, in that island, in that culture, in that religious setup, they had a lot of deeds. They had a lot of gods. And one of their goddesses was called Justice. And she was a goddess of punitive measures and punishing and all that kind of stuff. So when they saw that viper on Paul's hand, they assumed it was the goddess Justice dealing with Paul. So they had a reason to make a religious conclusion on Paul because their goddess always punished those who did evil. I don't know whether she punished them by having snakes biting them, I'm not sure. But they made an assumption that Paul was an evil man. But listen to this. You and me, as Christians, we also make assumptions. A lot. When you see a brother or sister talking there at that corner, what comes to your mind? I don't know. Maybe they are having an affair. Yeah, that's an assumption. And then you build on it. When you see somebody dozing there, sitting there, what's your assumption? Yeah, they are sitting here right in this service and they are dozing in front of you. It's either they have a hangover. That's the assumption. They were too drunk last night. Or they are going through a lot. Or they just don't want to hear the word. These sinners. Why do they come to church and infect us with their sleep? We make assumptions. A lot of assumptions. And when we make an assumption about the person next to you, you are bound not to help them. Depending on what you have concluded, you are bound to pull off from their space because you have already labeled, you have already condemned the person. Do you know that we are called to love, not to condemnation? We are called to truth, not assumptions. We are called to deal with one another based on the truth of the scripture and on the truth of our testimonies. How do you make conclusions about me when you have not spoken to me about my condition? and circumstance. Where did you get that truth from? You assumed. You just assumed. And in that assumption, you are driving me away from you. One of the reasons why believers are so apart from each other is this attitude of assumptions. Is this attitude of condemnation. Because in their minds, Paul is a murderer and no one can sympathize with him. Had he fallen dead, they were going to run away. Who touches a murderer of Paul's status? They were just going to flee him and leave him there because of assumptions. Maybe this morning, let's just help one another to say, ladies and gentlemen, you and me are on a journey of love, not condemnation. You and me are on a journey of carrying one another's burden, not mocking one another. Not pulling one another down, not shouting at one another. When you see me sick, the whole body is sick. Therefore, we are responsible. When you see me down, the whole body is down. Therefore, we are responsible. Isn't that the Bible says we are the body of Christ? This body. How many people have hurt their toe or their finger? At some point, you have, isn't it? The whole body feels the pain. Hurt your toe. Kick on something. The whole body aches. Because that's the biology of the body, isn't it? We are that kind of a body, a spiritual body, so knit to each other, so much that when she is down, we feel it. When you don't feel it, maybe it means we are not part of anybody. But when we are this spiritual body, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will feel it. Assumptions away. Condemnation away. And let love flow. Because what brings us together is the love for one another. What ties up and knits us together so that we are a formidable army of the Lord is how much we love one another. We don't have to live in a world where we are condemning each other. Did I say anything that has sense in it? Sure. Assumptions. People have fought over assumptions. Eh? People have gossiped over assumptions. Yeah? People have really harmed each other over assumptions, even in the church. Yeah? When you see me very jovial, very excited here and dancing and running around for Jesus, what's your assumption? What comes to your mind? He's crazy. Eh? He's showing off. He thinks he's more holy than everyone else. Yeah? What does he think he's doing? He's covering up his sins. We know him. And yet you know nothing. Assumptions. And when you begin to do that, you drive the person away. No one joins. Even if the person probably has been sent by the Holy Spirit to trigger something in the congregation. We sit back and we don't follow suit because we are assuming things. And in most cases, our assumptions bring about negative closure. They don't lead to positive things. They lead to negative closure and we pull apart. The locals here assumed Paul was an evil man because he's bitten by a viper. Do you have to be evil to be bitten by a snake? I'm not sure, but maybe in their context. But I have seen and heard people being bitten by snakes all over the place. Good people for that matter. Who are never, never evil. So they assumed that he was going to drop dead. But this is Paul. He's not just going to die easy. It's not easy to die. He dies hard. Have you heard some films called Die Hard? Yeah? This is the man. He's a die hard man. He's not going to do that. And when they wait, their assumptions begin to change. They begin to change. This is not a man. This is a god. Remember, these are people who have many gods. And they are easy to take up anything and make it a god. Now that he is not falling dead because of this viper, he is a god. I can assure you, had he stayed longer with them, they were going to worship him. He's God. And I believe also that he confuses their assumptions when he goes on to heal their sick. Yeah? They are no longer sure what kind of a creature they are dealing with. But hear me this morning. Paul is a good example of what a believer ought to be like in today's world. Believers are in charge, ladies and gentlemen. Believers, wherever they are in charge. It doesn't matter. Believers don't wait for an invitation to be in charge in their circumstances. You are already deployed to be in charge. Where there is a storm, you rise above. Where there is a conflict, you are the peacemaker. Where there is that and that, you are the one offering positive kingdom solutions. You don't need an invitation. Because Jesus has already deployed you wherever you are. Paul is showing us how we need to be responding to the circumstances around us, befalling us and befalling other people. How many people know that when we respond like Paul, like this, victory is ours? When we respond like this, ladies and gentlemen, the breakthrough is come. When we respond like this, ladies and gentlemen, heaven comes down to support you. Heaven comes down to walk along with you because you are responding in the manner heaven would have loved you to respond. Paul would have sat down like everyone else, felt the cold, cried, mourned, cursed, and did everything else and backslid in his spirit. But he wouldn't do that because he's a man on a mission. Are you with me this morning? Maybe can I ask you to talk to your neighbor and say, be a man on a mission. We are on that mission together, ladies and gentlemen. And our mission is to manifest the kingdom of our God. And our mission is to preach Christ, him alone crucified. Our mission is to minister Jesus to everyone in our circumstances or whatever circumstances they are going through. Are you with me this morning? So we need to understand that we are really called to respond to whatever arises in our situations by love, not condemnation, by truth and nothing else. Are you with me this morning? We have to respond by faith and so that we can do things. But let me also show you something. These sticks were very useful in this context. They must make a fire, isn't it? Very, very useful. And that's what they needed. But see where the enemy is hiding. See where the enemy is attaching itself. On one of the most useful sticks. Yeah. The enemy has this tendency, ladies and gentlemen, to always attach himself. His ideas, his thoughts, his philosophies in those good things that we really need at a particular time. And when we are not careful, he gets us. He gets us. Are you with me this morning? Those things that are so useful to where you are going, the enemy can attach himself and twist a little thing, and you go out of tandem. Because he must deceive you. because he must kill you, because he must destroy you. Were you going to stop gathering firewood to make fire because the enemy has beaten you? No ways, because you know that you have an enemy and you must fight and overcome. So let's be careful. Let me put it this way. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, for the enemy is seeking whom to devour. He moves around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. Be vigilant, be sober, be alert, be attentive to detail. There are many good things that these days we are so fond of, and yet therein, in their midst, somehow, somewhere, the enemy has infiltrated, and he uses those good things to poison your soul, to poison your attitude, to poison your mind, to poison your heart, and poison your relationships, and poison your character. And you begin to wonder, what is going on? I come to church, I do good stuff and all, but guess what? I'm not becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the devil is the one coming out of everything that I am doing. Maybe check the good things that you are fond of, because he might be there. Do you know that he loves music? Hello? Do you know that he loves a heart that loves money? These days, the talk is money, 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 money. How to make money? How to make money? How to make money? Congratulations, we need money, but he loves it. And he loves the heart that loves that kind of thing. Do you know that the devil loves food? Even if you keep quiet. Do you know that he enjoys beverages? Do you know that the devil loves fashion? He loves style. He can waylay you. He can hijack you. Did I say don't eat? I'd never say that. Eat the food with conviction. Eat as much. But he could be in some detail somewhere. If you can't discern. If you can't. I am always confused here that this is Paul. Hey, do you know Paul? This is him. He couldn't see the viper. He couldn't see the snake attached to a stick. This is Paul. Ah! I thought he saw everything. I thought so. Maybe I had made an assumption. But it shows how deceptive the enemy could be, even to the very elect. That's what the Bible says. So you and me need to be careful. Not extra careful. We have the Holy Spirit already in us to help us to be careful, to help us to discern, to help us to know and understand these things so that we are not easily deceived. May it not be easy for the enemy to go through you, ladies and gentlemen. May it be as hard as it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never went through Christ, and he never went through Paul. Did he beat Paul? Many times. Yeah? Did he hurt his emotions? Many times. Did he beat believers? Many times. But he wouldn't have their souls, and he wouldn't derail their mission. So let it be so with you and me, that no matter what, in this crazy world, devil continue to be the devil, but you shall not have me easily. Don't just be an easy target. Are you with me this morning? God bless you if you're with me. God bless your heart. God bless your attitude. Like I have already said, he loves to attack those who are so close to the heart of God and are doing what God wants them to do. But look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Did you show my title of this message this morning? Did you see it? There it is. Look at this. Paul is bitten by this poisonous snake. He sees it. It's hanging on his finger. And the Bible says he shook it off into the fire. I didn't even hold it with another hand to remove. He just into the fire. And he continued with what he was doing. Maybe he was singing a song in tongues. Maybe he was just thinking of Rome because he's on the way to Rome. He was addressing Caesar in his heart. I don't know. Maybe he was having a conversation with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit or with angels, but he just shook it off. And he didn't, the Bible doesn't give us detail whether he started scratching the finger and they're like, no, he just shook it off and continued with what he was doing. Yeah, talk of faith. Talk of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul knows who he is. He doesn't doubt his identity. He knows what the Lord Jesus has given him. He knows what he can do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no doubt about it. And he fully understands the authority that has been given him by the Lord Jesus himself. And he will not bother himself with some little viper somewhere that decides to bite his arm. Who are you? Just shake it off into the fire. And he continues with his way. And meanwhile, those watching are waiting for him to die. Paul does not die because he walks by faith. Because he knows who he is. Because he has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is representing Christ here. And he shall not just be hurt and harmed by this. And he knows what Mark chapter 16 has said to him. Can we read Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and verse 18? I think the Bible says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will pick up serpents. Yeah, the Malta serpents. With their hands. And no harm. Paul knows it. It's given. Ladies and gentlemen, this is guaranteed for anyone who believes. These signs will accompany those who and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Paul. Not just them there in Jerusalem. But those who believe even here in Bulawayo. Here in a beautiful country called Zimbabwe. With a lot of cement. This is a beautiful nation. Those who believe. You get what I'm talking about? This is Paul. He knows what Jesus has given them. The challenge with you and me, ladies and gentlemen, why we are probably not walking in the supernatural. We don't necessarily 100% believe what the Lord has given us. We don't necessarily believe what is ours. Ladies and gentlemen, on the cross of Calvary, he did it all and gave us all. And this is some of the things that are due you and me in Christ Jesus. Many times we have allowed ourselves to be hurt by things which we have authority over. We are hurt by things which we are supposed to just stand up and say, hey, get behind me, Satan. Eh? Just move away from here. We are so quiet. We love to cry, oh, my this. But here is power. Maybe if this is not clear, let's read Luke 10. If this is not clear, let's read Luke 10. So that you can see what you have. Luke 10, what does it say? Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Hey, in that statement, nothing shall hurt you, it also includes the vipers, the serpents, the poison, food or whatever. It cannot hurt a believer. Jesus is not a liar. He has produced an army that he has qualified, that he has equipped, that has given all his authority in heaven and on earth, and says, come on, guys, this is what you have, and you shall use it. This world will seek to hurt you. There are many things that are thrown on you or at you by the enemy, which you just need to shake off and never allow inside your spirit. They have gossiped about you. Congratulations. They have said whatever they have said. Guys, words are poisonous. Words are strong. They can destroy a person. But a child of God has the authority to just rise above the negative words, shake their poison off, and run the race. You are not going to come before the judgment seat of God and say, they gossiped. They said this and this, so I sat down. No. It cannot be. When they say what they say about you, keep running. Run even faster. The Bible tells us that in the book of Daniel, that when the king had given this kind of silly laws that no one is supposed to pray to another god but to the king and the like, the Bible says Daniel went to his room. Probably he was staying somewhere on a flat lot where there is the foyer, because the Bible says he would open the curtain, and be by the window, by the foyer, and pray. Once the decree was given, he prayed even more and made sure they saw him pray. That's the response. Don't pray and you also agree. And say, the government has said we don't pray. So what do we do when the government said that? No, believers can't respond like that. He prayed. They threw him into the den of the lions. Man, the prayers had already done something. When he got into that den, the lions were confused whether this was a human being or another lion or what have you. They didn't even make head and tail. Probably because he was with Jesus, the Lion of Judah himself. He just appeared in that form, the lion. And then they started wrapping themselves against another lion. Because he had responded by faith. If he had not, they were going to tear him into pieces before he landed on the ground. These were hungry and angry lions. Do you know that lions in captivity are angry? They are angry. They are never happy. Even if you play with them, you are playing with danger. The guy wants his freedom. He's a lion, man. Faith. Respond with faith. What did they do to you? Shake it off. Shake it off. What is it? Just shake it off. Shake off every weight that wants to entangle you and draw you back. Shake off every attitude. I'm not sure what attitude you are carrying. Please shake it off. Enjoy being a child of God. Don't allow a crazy attitude to stop you. Just shake it off. Maybe violently, so I don't know how you're going to shake it off, but shake off the poison in your spirit and receive the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of peace and joy. It doesn't have to be okay out there for you to enjoy the peace of God. No, you enjoy it in a storm. That's why it is something that the world cannot comprehend. The peace of God. No mind can understand it. that when things are down, when I am in a storm, when I am pronounced to be really gone, I am joyful. I am calm. I can whistle in the den of lions. I can walk in the furnace of fire. Yeah? How many of us here can walk in fire? You can. Because you've been qualified and equipped to do so. If you want to. All you need to do is to shake off. What is it that hinders you? What is it that has brought you to a point where you are not enjoying being a Christian, being born again? There is no experience better than being a child of God. No experience better than being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is it that is making you so cold, so stiff, so lukewarm? What is it? What happened? What did you hear? Shake it off. Just put it off. Just kick it out of your way and enjoy this life. Ladies and gentlemen, we were meant to enjoy our Christianity here. When we're going to heaven, it's like somebody who has finished the race. We are going there to take a shower after sprinting. Yeah? And just towel ourselves and enjoy the presence of our God. That's given. But here, we enjoy the fight. We enjoy being beaten. We enjoy the falls. We enjoy rising up. We enjoy punching. We enjoy it by the Spirit of the Lord. It's never meant to be something that causes you to say, no, when shall I die? I can't take this. I must die and go now. No, 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 no. Are you with me this morning? What's your passion? And what has quenched your passion? What have you allowed to quench your passion? If there is anything that you have allowed to quench your passion, ladies and gentlemen, I want to put it to you this morning as I close. Shake it off. Kick it off your spirit. Kick it off your way. You are responsible. No one else will do it. We can lay hands. We can pray. We can give you oil. We can go and get oil from Palestine, from Jerusalem, from wherever. Give it to you. Have you drink it, bath in it. It will not happen until you shake it off. Yourself. Yourself. Without asking for anyone's help, you have the responsibility. You are empowered. You are equipped to shake it off. And begin to fly in the spirit and enjoy being a child of God. Stop bothering about the world, what the world is saying or not saying. Stop bothering about who is condemning who. We are not condemned. There is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And to those that are in Christ Jesus, it's you and me. Can we copy something from Paul? Can we learn something from believers like this? Can we respond in our context? God bless every believer in the house. God bless you as you shake it off. And I pray that we will see believers begin to run, to fly, and be energetic in doing what they ought to do. So arise and stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Walk away from what it is. Speak to it, stop it, whatever it is. Take full control. And walk in your victory. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning. You know us, all of us here. Nothing about us is hidden from you. You know the poisons we have taken into our souls, our minds, and our lives, and everything else. Poisons from the enemy. The poison of discouragement, of feeling being belittled, not qualified, and many other things, oh God. This morning, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit in us convict all of us to shake off this poison, like Paul did. We are not worried about what the enemy is doing. We are not worried about his beatings, and we are not worried about the arrows that he is shooting at us. We have the shield of faith in us that we put away these wiles. In the name of Jesus, I pray for strength. I pray for willingness. I pray for hearts that are willing to engage, to fight, and to continue winning until the Lord Jesus has returned. So thank you for the week ahead. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the peace of God in our minds. Peace that surpasses any human understanding. Thank you, Father, that we are an army of God. Your hand is upon us. You have anointed us. You have commissioned us. And we are not looking back. We have authority. We tread over serpents and scorpions and any other power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.